Turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms. I must say I'm a bit nervous, and so I hope you'll pardon that. When I got the brochure and found out that I was speaking with you, it was kind of nerve-wracking. My daughter, who's getting married July the 17th of this year, which we are thankful for. Some of you men in the past have remember brought up about your daughters, and God answered our prayer and brought a wonderful young man into her life. And so my wife isn't with me this year, and I wasn't really going to come because if any of you have married daughters, it's very costly. And so all of my funds are being rationed off, you know. We have halls to rent and meals to provide, and he's a Christian young man, so we don't have one congregation, but two congregations. And so I wasn't going to come, but then I found my name on the brochure, and I thought, I better show up. And then when I looked over the brochure, and I'm saying, there's not any special speaker this year like Pastor Reese last year. I guess a lot of folks are taking turns, and that means there's more verses to be covered. And then I called Bob and I said, what is the verse that they're covering? And I don't know, whatever. And then I was really nervous. I don't even know, you know, this theme, I guess, is a man in the scriptures, but I didn't want to preach what someone else is going to preach, and there's no way in the brochure to find out if you're going to do that. So if I preach what you're going to preach, I'm sorry. I'm not preaching anyways because I'm too nervous to preach, and I'm just doing a devotional. On the 119th Psalm, what I'd like to do is read verses 9 through 16. As you know, some of you are familiar with the 119th Psalm, and I guess if a man in the scriptures, I thought this would be a good place. The 119th Psalm is about the Bible. It's a chapter that is devoted to the worship, the exaltation and the praise of the Word. And so I thought that would be a good place to go. And what I want to do is just read the section under Beth there. And most of you know, I don't want to go into all that stuff about the ABCs. You guys know that. That's good enough. But I'm only going to read that section which covers that, which is 9 through 16. And I just have one verse I'd like to share a little bit with you about. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With thy lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as all in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I want to consider for a few moments this morning and the 10th verse, if you'd look there again. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And I am interested in this verse because it's a devotional verse, and it's a time of in my life that it's part of my life. So I'm going to share a little bit of my life with you in this way of devotion because this is where I'm at. The verse has a little tension, as you can see it. There's this tension of the proclamation of the writer of the verse in a declaration, and a very bold one indeed. And he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And yet there's the tension of the next phrase, which, you know, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And there's a sense of devotion and the proclamation of devotion, and yet also the awareness of the potential to fall away from such a bold proclamation. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about and deal a little bit about with. Because personally, at my age, that's where I'm at. And I know that many of you here are pastors, ministers, and in my 28th year that the church was, the 28th year at the church where I've been. And, you know, when I was 19, I sought the Lord, and I tried and attempted to live by that same kind of proclamation or declaration of the psalmist, to devote my whole heart to the Lord and seeking Him and serving Him. And yet at my age, I sense more than ever the tension and the fear and the dread of wandering from God and bringing reproach upon Christ and shame to my family. And so anyways, this is where I'm at. So I thought I'm sharing, it's my devotion, okay? We'll share it together. So this is where I'm at, and I thought about this, and I began to kind of wander through it a bit, and I kind of come up with the idea that this is an interesting thing, that a man with such godliness and such desires after God, and yet within him is resident, as he can see it and sense it, yet this very potential to do the very thing that he would dread to do, and the thing that he's never wanted to do, and to wander away from God. And it's an amazing passage, and it has all this tension. And yet the bottom line with the whole of it is, how does one prevent, or how does one keep oneself from wandering away from God, and how does one discover God, and how can one fix their whole heart upon God? And so I thought I'd explore it a little bit with you this morning. Because the first part of it is the unreserved pursuit of God. It's with a whole heart that this one declares he sought God, implying this, that he's put aside all of his own selfish desires. He's laid them aside. They mean nothing to him anymore. The goals, the ambitions, the dreams, the things that when he was a young man, perhaps he wanted to pursue, all of those he set aside to really, with all of his heart, not any distractions of selfish desires, not any distractions of the world out there. He put those all aside. He put them away. And without any desire to pursue opportunities that might even make themselves available or be set before him. With the unreservedness of his heart, with the wholeness of his heart, he has placed himself in this proclamation, pursuing God. And the question is, how does one pursue God with their whole heart? Well, we can put away all those things, and that's some help to it, but there's the idea, I think, also of with the strength of the heart he's pursued God, with his whole heart, that is, that every ability God has given him, whether it be intellectual, spiritual, whatever the ability, he's taken all of his strength and abilities, and he's used them to pursue God, to seek God. And you know, the question is, well, how does one pursue God? Well, within the context, I think you can find it very clearly set out that in order for one to pursue God and know God, it is in the context of knowing God's Word. That's the whole point of the 119th Psalm. In fact, in the verses we read, which are merely 9 through 16, we have in verse 9, to taking heed to thy word. In verse 10, thy commandments. In verse 11, again, thy word. In verse 12, thy statutes. In verse 13, the judgments of thy mouth. In verse 14, thy testimonies. Verse 15, thy precepts. In verse 16, thy word. And so that we have in this passage, I think, the answer to the question of one who says, I pursued you. Well, how did he pursue God? How did he with his whole heart seek God? Well, he sought him through the Word of God. And it is the very Word of God. It is the Scriptures that reveal God to us. And the more we deeply pursue the Scriptures, the more we can understand and know God and who he is. And that in itself is a sermon to be preached. And I'm only devotionally speaking. But you and I know that the theme is men of the Scriptures. And when we're not in the Scriptures, we can't be men of the Scriptures. There's a sense in which we must ourselves just pursue God through the Scriptures. We must spend time in the Word of God. We must understand the statutes of God, understand the Word of God, and then not just understand it and know it, but we must apply it. I think the pursuit of God is in the application of God's Word. In the smaller things of really living by faith and trusting the truths of God set in Holy Scripture and doing those things, and not merely just assenting to them intellectually, but doing them in a humble and a meek way. And so here he says that he sought God. And how does one seek God? It is through the Word of God and through the Scriptures that we seek God and we discover God. But there's the other side of the text. This prone to wander kind of sense here. Whereas he begins to seek God, I think he also sees himself. And the Scriptures not only reveal God to us, but they do reveal ourselves, don't they? They really tell us who we really are. They really speak to us and remind us of how sinful we are. And we are sinful creatures. We are sinful. And Spurgeon, on his commentary on this in the Treasury of the Psalms, he says there seems to be a great irony in that that man who draws closer and closer and closer to God, he sees and fears and dreads the sin of his own life. You know, it's not as if you can draw closer to God and escape your sinfulness. It's the exact opposite. It's that the sinfulness is revealed more to us as we draw closer to God, as we seek after God with all of our heart. There's this dual revelation. We're seeing God, knowing God, understanding God, but on the other hand, we think of ourselves, and the Scripture tells us what kind of men we are. And so, in exploring the second half a bit, he says, let me not wander. And there's a sense in which this is not a proclamation, but more of a prayer, in which he's petitioning God and asking God for divine assistance. Because of our own strength, we can't do that. Of our own strength, we are prone to wander. And it is not that we have the strength to avoid it. We must appeal to God in His grace. We must appeal to Him to assist us and help us and prevent us from wandering. Now, I know the same method of discovering God in the Scriptures should be the same method of preventing us from wandering. That is the same Bible, the same verses, testimonies, reading the stories, as most of us have read them in the Old Testament, of those men who did wander away and the consequences that befell them. Those should be ample enough to prevent us from wandering, but the power of sin is far greater than I think even we sometimes recognize. And there's a sense the author is petitioning God, not that he doesn't know the consequences of sin, not that he doesn't know what will happen when he wanders, but he senses the inability to remain faithful to God and the indwelling presence and potential of his own sin. And it is quite humbling. Quite humbling when you realize you can wander away. And most of us are acquainted with men that we know have done that. We're not immune. I'm not immune. None of us are immune. And there have been men who understood the Bible, eloquently preached the Bible, and for a time and a season lived by those statutes and seemingly to the human eye sought after God with all their heart. But in time wandered. We all know of those stories, and they're scary. It's frightening. And let none of us think in any kind of smug way that it's not going to happen to me. Apparently the psalmist, my whole heart, let me not wander. That to me is scary. And we are born to wander. You know that. We're born to wander away from God. The psalmist writes in the 14th psalm these words, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That's our nature. That's the way we're born. We're born to wander. We're not born to pursue God with all of our heart. The pursuit of God with all of our heart is because of a divine intervention in our lives, is it not? Not something we came into the world with, a desire to pursue God. That's foreign to us. The reality is we are born to wander. That makes this potential impossibility of wandering far greater, because it is the natural course of man. It's not unnatural. It is natural. And it's not without great struggles that we fight against it and have to implore God from time to time, Lord, strengthen me, keep me, protect me. Lord, warn me, frighten me. And you know the passage, not only are we born to wander, but prone to wander. You know the passage that's very famous in Romans 7. I'm sure you're familiar with it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that's the truth of the matter. That as you seek God with all of your heart, yet there's that evil still within you, resident. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I think Paul is clearly acknowledging the same thing we would see that the psalmist says here, that there's always that potential and that sense and tension of being drawn away from God, doing that which you know you shouldn't do, and acknowledging, you know, those things you shouldn't acknowledge and allowing them to be a part of your life. And so that the psalmist has both this great proclamation and yet also this humble petition. A proclamation of, I think a proclamation that all of us have made in our hearts. I hope so, brother. I hope you have made the same proclamation at some point where you have said to God, God, I sought you with all my heart. But don't let that proclamation keep you from the petition and the realization that there is this sense of wonder. We're born with it. You're prone to it. And again, in my own life, this is the great fear that I'm at. I'm 54 years old. I have 3 children. And I have 2 grandchildren. And I have a church, and people in the church I've known for 28 years. And I have a wife that I've been married to for 31 years. And the last thing I would want is to wander away. There's a sense of a dread and fear of it that in this time in my life is almost overwhelming. The shame of it and the dread of it, it's almost a daily thing with me. I don't know about you. And I find myself always constantly dreading it. Not that I'm out engaged in some public sin. That's not the case at all. But I sense the potential to drift away. Drift away. Maybe it's because, you know, you're in the Bible every day, year after year after year, and we lose sight of how precious it is. How wonderful it is. Maybe it's because in the ministry you're just going about it and doing it, and it becomes almost to us a job or a common task, instead of understanding what a glorious privilege it is to serve Christ. Oh, tremendous. I wouldn't step down to assume the office of President of the United States. It would be a lesser task. And there's a sense of all that in these last days, particularly in my life, that I sympathize with the psalmist. I understand the text, and I don't want to slip, and I don't want to fall. I don't want to bring reproach. My wife, my family, God. And so that's why I kind of brought this devotion. Most of us are familiar with that hymn, aren't you? It's in your hymnal, the Baptist hymnal. Come thou fount of every blessing. Maybe those last, the third stanza goes this way. Come thou fount of every blessing. To grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, now like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And I don't know what inspired Elijah, but I think there's a sense of companionship with the text and an understanding of it. And even great Christian men have to be careful in this matter. And my time is up. Shall we pray? Lord, as we gather here together with these men and women who love Christ, and there is this assumption that all of us with our whole heart have desired to pursue Christ. And Lord, the more we desire to serve Him, the more we do sense the dread and fear of not following through, of not finishing well. And I pray, Father, that You'll be with us in these days and at the conference as we encourage each other and as we're challenged from the Scriptures and as we spend time in the Word of God and under the preaching of these men and in the times of fellowship around the table, that all of that will be a great encouragement to us to continue to pursue God with all of our hearts. May we encourage each other. May it just be a very special time. Lord, I want to pray for myself. Lord, You know my heart. You've given me a beautiful wife, beautiful kids and grandchildren and a church and people who look up to me, who see me in a different light than I see myself. They see me as a man who's seeking God, but I see myself as one who could wander. And in these days in my life, Lord, I'm praying and asking that You'd always be there. And that as I understand the Scriptures and as I read them, that the Holy Spirit would assist me and help me in applying those truths so that they might be a guard against wandering. I pray for my wife to always hold me accountable, to be faithful, always just being there to encourage me and to give me words of wisdom and warning. I pray for my children that I won't let them down. I'll be the kind of dad they'd be pleased with. And I pray for my church, that those people who have lovingly been a part of my life over the years won't be let down by me. Lord, we pray that You again will guard us and protect us. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.